Welcome to the Radiant Life Church podcast. You're about to hear a message that we pray will inspire your heart and challenge your faith. For more information on RLC, please visit myrlc.family or check us out on social media. Have a blessed day. Now here's your message.
Going to jump in the message in a minute, but I just want to preface this because I want everybody to know when you see me this coming week, I lost a bet with, I believe, a 10-year-old, and so last week, some of you are like, you gamble. I was like, well, I mean, as a kid, he was wearing a Cowboys shirt, so I had to call him out last week, all right? So I called him out. I was like, don't be wearing that garbage here at Radiant Life Church, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is Brownstown right here. I was like, this is a dog pound, and so I was like, hey, here's the deal. Browns win. You gotta wear a brown shirt next Sunday. He's like, and if the Cowboys win, I said, you get to keep your hideous shirt. That's what happens. And he showed up this morning with a Cowboys sweatshirt and said, put it on. And I was like, bro, I gotta go to Orville. I'm wearing my grandma's Afghan this morning. I can't, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you gotta do? I said, okay. He's like, Mom, are we gonna be here Wednesday? She's like, yeah. He's like, I'll see you Wednesday. So when you see me in a Cowboys sweatshirt, just know I lost a bet. I'm not a traitor. But if they lose today, this 49-year-old Browns fan may jump ship. All right, that's all I'm gonna say. So I'm hoping to celebrate a little bit later today because I'm already celebrating. I'm excited for what God is doing. And if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. We're gonna be getting there in just a moment. Chapter 15, we're gonna be reading a lot of verses today, but I think you'll get an idea of where we're going. I read this quote by the late Kobe Bryant. If you don't know who Kobe Bryant is, he's gotta be in the top five, potentially even top three greatest basketball players of all time. And he said this, he was talking about the Mamba mentality because he's the Mamba, right? He says the Mamba mentality is about focusing on the journey and the hard work rather than the result, right? He's talking about the journey. Like you got to put in the work. You got to do the effort. I'm not worried about the results because results come when you put the work in. And so this was something that was a mission to him. It was a drive within him. He was always pushing himself to get better and to be better and to be one of the greatest of all time. And so that would mean he would practice more than everybody else. And the Olympics, how many know that typically in basketball, I used this illustration a few months ago with the Dream Team, with Michael Jordan and everybody, like it was the Dream Team. And they just smoked through everybody in the Olympics. But after that, actually not the Dream Team, but the next team after that, they lost in the Olympics. And it was the first time. And so then they had the Redeem Team. And the Redeem Team was led by Kobe Bryant. Well, they were practicing in Las Vegas, and it's about 4:30 in the morning, and tons of the players that were on the Redeem Team were coming in from a late night. They'd been out clubbing, partying, and so the elevator door opens, and inside the elevator is Kobe Bryant. He's got his gym bag, and he's on his way downstairs to practice while the rest of the players are on their way upstairs to get some sleep. What was he doing? Mamba mentality. He was like, I'm going to put the work in to be the best because I don't want to lose. Well, over time, the rest of the team stopped staying out late and then started going to practice with Kobe in the morning. Why? Because he had a desire to be the best and it drove him. Here's what that means for you and for me. Our mission is what motivates us. Our mission is what motivates us. And so if you're like, man, I have a mission to be a millionaire. How many know that you're going to have to do some work? Right? So you may be motivated by money, and so with that mission, and so you're going to work, and you're going to work, and you're going to work. It's our mission that motivates us. And so a mission is something that it's a deeply held belief. It is a conviction of yours. And so here at Radiant Life Church, we have a mission statement. That mission statement is what fuels us. That mission is what directs us. And so we're a church about real relationship, a real relationship with Jesus first, and then with each other. We don't have time for the fake, the facade. We don't want to put on any mask. We want to get to know Jesus. That's how Jesus loves us. And we want to love other people that way. And then we have, the L is life change. Jesus loves us so much that he meets us right where we're at. But he loves us way too much to leave us there. And so because we have an authentic, life-giving relationship with Jesus, we are compelled. There is something within us that wants to get so close to him that our life begins changing. And because we know Jesus and because he's changing us, we can't help but tell others, which means the last part of our mission is community. We want to tell others in our community. We want to live in community. Speaking of living in community, life groups launch tonight, right? Come on, say, who's ready? Who's ready for life group? I'm ready for life group. We strategically, it's just the way it happens in Northern Ohio. Our life group start at 6. Browns usually play at 1. Just God worked it out for us, right? It's pretty cool how it works out. But a mission is something that keeps you up. A mission is something that you dream about. Like you can't get out of your mind. And this morning, I want to ask a few questions and maybe even look for the answer. What was the mission of Jesus? What motivated Jesus more than anything else? Why did he do what he did? Why did he say what he said? And I think you're going to get an idea from Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And here's what it says. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So I came to seek and save those that were lost, right? Those who maybe are far from me. I've come to find them, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, to seek and save that which were lost. So when you look in scripture and you see Jesus teaching, his heart when he is teaching, why did he teach the way he taught? Because he wanted those who were far to be found. Why did Jesus do what he did? Why did he give grace to people who didn't deserve it? All throughout scripture, if you turn to the New Testament, so the Old Testament, New Testament, you turn to the New Testament, you begin reading stories of Jesus. Like, I don't understand it. Everybody's in the community and they're ready to stone this woman who's been caught in this act. And Jesus is like, hey, any of you guys, anybody who's here, whoever has no sin, you cast the first stone. And Jesus is just left with her. Now because he was sinless, could have cast the first stone, but he didn't. And you're like, why did he do what he did? Because he had a mission, and that mission was to seek and save the lost. The miracles that Jesus performed, was it for his glory? For his glory, of course. Was it so he could get the credit? Absolutely not. It was about seeking and saving the lost, that those who are far would be found. And so this morning, we're gonna look at a story of Jesus. Jesus is telling a story. It's called a parable. Right? And this parable is an illustration of things that were lost. And he shares three different stories in this. We're going to look at one. He's talking about a lost coin and how you go looking for it. He's talking about a lost sheep. And why we're going to read this. If you have 99, why do you go looking for the one? But we're going to dive in and we're going to look at the story of the lost son. The parable, you may have heard it called the prodigal son. And so before we dive into that, we got to know who Jesus is talking to. So Jesus has an audience. Who's in the audience that he is sharing this story with? It's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. And this is what it says. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." Okay, so there's a group. There's people in the room. "But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So this is one room with multiple audiences. There's different people who are gathered there in this moment to hear Jesus. The first would be tax collectors. Now, the tax collectors in biblical times were different than tax collectors now. They still wanted your money. Maybe they're not that much different. They took more than they deserved. Maybe that's, I don't know. Not speaking of the gut, right? But here's what they would do in biblical times. You would betray your own. That's what that you would do. You would betray your own people. And so you were collecting finances, you were collecting taxes for the Roman government, but you were taking them from the Jewish people. And so you'd be a Jewish tax collector and you would be charging oftentimes significantly more than you were even supposed to. So they're hated. No one likes the tax collector, right? And then it says there were sinners. So sinners, people who are far from Jesus, are here. They are gathered. This is people in the room. And so you would say that in this room, there are clearly lost people. But then there's another group of people. You have the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a religious group. They were the teachers of the law. They obeyed. And so in the Old Testament, you're like, you see all these laws and you're like, man, that's a lot to do. They set out to make sure they obeyed all of them. Actually, they created a bunch of new ones that didn't even exist. You had the written law and then you had the oral law. They had this law that was like, oh, I know this is what this says, but it also means, because they just wanted to be better than everybody. They were like, man, we're going to be the elite spiritual group. What they didn't know is how far they were from Jesus. Pastor Anthony, it was interesting. He said it this morning. I was listening to his message on the way back. It's crazy. I was preaching, then I left, and then I listened to a message, and then I come back, and I'm preaching a message. He's like, but listen, you can have a butt in a seat and be far from Jesus. Because you have these two groups of people that he's telling this story to, because he wanted everybody to be able to relate and for you and I to be able to relate, what's this really about? And the spiritual people at the time didn't know they were lost. So Jesus begins this story in Luke 15, verses 11 through 24, and this is what he says. Long portion of text, but let's look at it. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. Don't forget that, there's two. We're gonna read a lot about the first one, but he had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Now understand, when he says, Father, give me my share of the estate, he's asking for his inheritance while his father is alive. What he's saying to his dad in this moment is, I wish you were dead. That's what he's telling him. So this is like, man, this is pretty harsh. Everybody, again, the people listening knew what Jesus meant. Like, oh, you wouldn't do that. That's so rude. That's so disrespectful. And yet here we see it. So he divides the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off on a distant country, and there he squandered, wasted his wealth in wild living. So he's throwing a party that never ends, except for now it's coming to an end, because it says, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and it began to be in need. And continuing on in our text, it says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. I don't know if you're catching this illustration and this story, and understand, you wouldn't want to be anywhere near the pigs because they're unclean. He's in with the pigs, hoping he can eat what the pigs are eating, but still no one would give him anything. That's how low. I don't know how low is. I don't know where rock bottom is, but this seems like this is way below where rock bottom should be. And this is where he finds himself. He's anything. But then verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death, right? So he's giving us an illustration of what happens. Let's keep reading our text. It says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. And this is important, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He's filled with compassion. This is dad sitting on the front porch waiting. Like, son, I know you're coming home. I don't know when, but when you do, I'm gonna have compassion. But understand something. He didn't have to have compassion. I don't know how you would feel as a dad. But if one of my three daughters was like, Dad, I want my inheritance. One, I would say, ha, that's funny. I got nothing. But if they took a third, I have three daughters, if they took a third and then they wasted it and then they came home, how many know that your first thought may be more of judgment? Your first thought may be one of anger. Yet it says the father saw him and was filled with compassion and he ran to his son. In biblical times, you would not run in that robe. He's running to his son. He throws his arms around him and kissed him. And we finish with these verses. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. Let's throw a party. And here's why. Remember, Jesus is on a mission to seek and save that which were lost. This son was lost. And here's the father celebrating. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and so they began to celebrate. You see, this story is less about two brothers and more about the father. This story is when we get to see God's heart, and God's heart is for his people. That's what we see. Do you see that? God's heart is for his people, and I wanna share with you three thoughts this morning from our text today. Here's the first is this. If you're taking notes, maybe you got the Bible app, the app that we have, the Radiant Life Church app, you don't even have to take it. You just push the button, it autofills. It's the best invention ever. It's this: Jesus wants you when even you don't want you. Jesus wants you when even you don't want you. And maybe you're feeling a little bit of that tension this morning. Like, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? Man, I feel like a failure. I've been struggling with this. Maybe I'm struggling to pay my bills. I'm struggling. And you're like, man, I'm not even sure if what's happening. Jesus wants you when even maybe you don't want yourself. I get this. So I've been married for 27 years to Pastor Angel. And when we first started dating, insecurities surely got the best of me. Actually, insecurities still get the best of me. Because I walked into Orville this morning and I was like, man, I married way, 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 way up. right? So I started dating Pastor Angel, and I was like, this girl's out of my league, way out of my league, right? I was working in a warehouse, and the first time she ever met me, I looked like a slob. I was covered in dirt, head to toe. I just got filthy every day at work. I'm wearing ripped up pants, ripped up, beat up Carhartt. And I'm like, she's never going to say yes to going on a date with me. I don't know how much my best friend at the time paid her, but she did say yes. All right. And so we went on a few dates. And I had another friend that said, I just want you to know she's out of your league. So I'm going to ask her out. And I was like, bro, I just went out with her like 2 to 3 times. And so he did. No joke. He did. And she said no. I'm going on more dates with Lance. I was like, psh, that's right. Boy, got it. But I don't know if you've ever seen the movie 50 First Dates, where it's like there's amnesia, and then she doesn't remember the day, and so he's got to get her to like him every day. I thought for sure that Pastor Angel would wake up from amnesia. Like, this is me. Like, one day she's just going to wake up and go, who are you? And why am I with you? Because I'm way out of your league. And I would be like, you are exactly right. Can you get amnesia again? Like, I don't know what to do. But it's a feeling that I had that I felt like she would come to her senses. Did you hear what happened with the younger son? He is starving. He has lost it all. But eventually he comes to his senses. Look at verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses, when he had that aha moment, when the light bulb went off. And some of you know what that feeling is like when you're like, I got it. I figured it out. I know what's going to happen. And he has this moment. He comes to his senses and he realizes, man, I have it rough. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And maybe you relate. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you're feeling that way today. Man, I've done it all, but I don't feel fulfilled. Why am I here? Why am I drawing breath this morning? What is my purpose? What is my existence? And nothing is going well for him. And he feels like he's lost everything. He's saying the servants. Like, I would rather be a servant. Just tell me what to do, Dad. Just tell me what to do. It would be better to be with people I used to be able to boss around and serve alongside than to be where I was at living with the pigs, because I'm no longer worthy. And you could see right then, he doesn't like himself very much. But it lets me know this. You don't have to like you for Jesus to love you. Because our self-worth isn't determined by what we say we're worth. It's by what he says we're worth. Right? What does Christ speak over us? What is God? What is the Father? What does the Word say about us? And Jesus' love for us is unconditional. It is. I don't know how to even describe the love that the Father lavishes on us. It's a love we don't deserve. It's a love you can't earn. It's a love, no joke, that's already fully mature. He's not going to love you any more or any less than he does right here in this moment. And that love never changes. It's a crazy love. Some would say it's even a reckless love. Like, why? It doesn't make sense. We can't fathom it. When we think of love, we're like, okay, well, let's read 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look at it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, it doesn't keep any record of wrong. And we're like, okay, those are good things to love. But that doesn't, we struggle to love. And Jesus is like, oh, my love is far greater than any of that. Far greater than any of that. So it's this comprehension of, man, how do we, even if we don't like ourselves, Jesus still loves us. And I wonder if sometimes it's about the preparation that goes into it. I don't know if you've ever had a chance. Have you ever had the chance? I would just tell you yes, okay? So today is Jeff Shenevy's birthday. Is he here today? Okay, this is what we're gonna do. If he's watching online, can we just wish Jeff a happy birthday? I would say this. If he ever invites you over to his house and he says, hey, I'm just gonna cook a little something, something, say yes. Even if you don't like to eat, say yes. Here's why. Jeff is, he's got this smoker in his backyard. And he has practiced, and he's got seasonings, he's got sauces, he's got different flavored wood chips, he knows temperatures, he knows times. Like, he's put in some work to figure out what tastes great. And so you'll go over there and you're like, I smell chicken wings. Before you even get to see the chicken wings, before you even see the ribs in the smoker, he brings out a little something called smoked cream cheese. Guys, can I just be honest with you? I hate cream cheese. Hate it. I'm never gonna eat it. And so I show up there and he was like, you just gotta try it. I was like, nope, I don't eat sour cream. I'm picky, I don't eat sour cream. And I'm not eating cream cheese. It's just not my thing. I'm not gonna eat it. Pastor Angel's like, I'll eat it. Good. She's like, you just got to try it. I don't like peer pressure when it comes to food. I ain't doing it. Just try it. I was like, okay, fine, I'll give in. Take a little Frito, like one of them big scoops, and I dip it in, and I always do that. I don't know if you do it where it's like you just put a little on. And I was like, I just put a little something on. I put it in my mouth, and I was like, that was interesting. I grab another scoop, grab a little bit more. Did I tell you I hated cream cheese? I grab another scoop, put a little bit more on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's life-giving. I still will not eat cream cheese, but if it's Jeff Genevieve smoked cream cheese, I'll devour the entire thing. But why? He's preparing. He's prepared. He is a professional when it comes to it. Our passion is shown in our preparation. Our passion is shown in our preparation. Are we prepared? And Jesus is showing the same thing in this story, in this parable. He's showing the passion that he has, the preparation that he's already done. If you don't realize it, Jesus, listen, he's made a way before you even existed. Before you were conceived, he has made a way. He has prepared for you. Here's what it says in Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners. This is interesting. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were all messed up, while we were all jacked up. He's not saying, hey, you got to be perfect. What he's saying is, listen, I will give my best for you. Jesus gave himself fully. Jesus has been for you since you were even born. Let that sink in for a moment. Before you were even born, there's never been a moment in existence where Jesus hasn't been on your side and on your team. Right? If today we decided to break up into some teams and we were gonna play freeze tag, right? We're going old school recess. Do they still have recess in school? My kids are all grown. I don't know if they still have. But right, this is like, man, don't pick me last, don't pick me last, don't pick me last. Please don't pick me last. I didn't have to worry about that. I used to be skinny and fast. That's long gone. But I'd be like, okay, that's good. We're gonna win a freeze tag. This is it. Jesus has never picked anyone last. If he's gonna pick anybody first, he's gonna pick you. And you're like, that's impossible. How could he pick us all first? That's the love he has. He's gonna make a choice to love us all equally. That even when we're messed up, he's still gonna love us. And that's the love that the Father has for us. Second thought this morning is Jesus is looking for lost people. He's looking for lost people. And you're like, well, what does that mean? You ever lost something and then you found it? How good did you feel about finding it? You ever lost something and you can't find it? Some of you are like, I have kids. Could I lose one of them? Right. I lost any of mine yet. A couple weeks ago, we took a family vacation, and I don't know when you travel, like, just use your credit card because everybody takes credit cards. But I'm like, you know, you want to have some extra cash with you just to be safe. Anything happens. So anytime I travel, I always make sure I have extra cash with me because typically in my wallet is receipts and $5-6. But when we got back from vacation, I didn't take the cash out of my wallet. So it was late at night and I'm like, where's my wallet? So I'm looking everywhere where I would put my wallet. And when I say when I put my wallet, I'm the guy who when I get home, I'll put my wallet and keys wherever it is that I took my pants off at, okay? I'm just letting you in on a little secret. So I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking at my pants. I'm looking at my jackets. I'm looking everywhere, and I cannot find my wallet. Normally, I don't care. If I lose my wallet, it's driver's license, a few credit cards, not a big deal. I can cancel those. But I'm cheap, and I don't want to lose money. I'm like, I had money in there, and I don't want to lose this. So I'm scavenging the house. I'm looking for it. Can't find it. And then how many know when you lose something, you got to go back, when was the last time I had it? Well, that happened to be a Sunday night, and I went, whoa. I know where my wallet's at. I think I have an idea. So I got up, I came to the church about 11:30 at night, opened up my desk drawer, got my wallet. In that moment, relief. Because something was lost and now it is found. I was in pursuit of it until it was found. Can I just tell you that Jesus is in pursuit of you until you're found? That's the passion that he has for you. He will tear the house apart looking for you because he's always wanting you to come home because he is looking for lost people. Look at Luke 15, verse 20. It says, so he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. While he was a long way off. Did you know you don't have to be close to God for him to run to you? Here's what I mean by that. It's a long way off. He's always looking. His eyes are always dialed in for a child that would want to come home. I don't know about you, if you're a follower of Christ, you're like, man, I've given my life to Jesus. You remember that moment where you said, I surrender. I remember the moment where I was very far. Most of you know, have heard a lot of my story. I was very far doing my own thing. And so I'm going this direction and Jesus gets a hold of my life and I turn and I start heading this direction. Here's the crazy thing, right here. Right here. Because he's never left. He's not going anywhere. There's no reason for him to go anywhere. He doesn't go, man, listen, I don't want to run to you because you need to get yourself together. You need to get clean. You need to fix yourself up. I don't like the story that you've been telling. And so would you change the story and then I will love you? No, he's always looking for you to come home. Always. When you turn to God, you find out that he's been facing you all along. That's what happens. You turn towards him and you find that he's been facing you all along. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. This is speaking of God, okay? So this is God who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So God wants everybody to find him. This isn't like a game of hide and seek and he's hiding and he don't want to be found. No, he wants to be found. The scripture says that he can be found if we will seek after him with our whole heart. And you're like, well, what does that mean? If he really wants all of us to be found, then how come he just doesn't make us find him? And I've been asked that question. If God loves us so much, then why doesn't he make us love him? How many know love cannot be forced? Love has to be a choice. Love is more about sacrifice than it is about having a forcefulness behind it. Let me give you an example of what that looks like. So we've done a lot of renovations at Radiant Life Church Oroville, a lot. And a few weeks ago was National Fine Arts Festival where a bunch of our students were there and they crushed it. And they did a large human video and man, they were amazing. So good. And there were short sermons. All of our stuff got superior. Like they did really, really, really well. And one of the things that my daughter, Olivia, who's up here leading worship, it's still funny though when she said, anoint Pastor Lance. I was like, who are you? I thought I would hear anoint dad, but it was Pastor Lance, it's fine. But she preached a short sermon and then she got a call back. Well, typically, I'm always there with the students, but this year because we're planting our third location and the National Fine Arts Festival was in Columbus and not in Orlando, Florida. Next year it's in Orlando, so students, I got you next year. I got you back, okay? I will take one for the team. But here's the deal. I was like, hey, I'm going to travel back and forth. I think it was Wednesday she preached and I was there and I was like, yes, and encouraging. And then I drove back home and then she got a call back. So she had to preach again Thursday. And I was like, oh man. And so I had a conversation with her and then she got another call back. And so that meant she was, I don't know, like top 15 or whatever in the country. And but that was going to be Friday morning at like 9:08. I was like, I got you. Our motto is family first. And so as a dad, I'm like, I'm going to be there. It was 10:30 at night on Thursday night. And I was like, I'm coming down. I'm going to drive to Columbus. And they were like, you don't have to. You're good. I was like, no, I'm going to be there. That's what I do. I'm going to sacrifice for you. And then it was 10:30 and I get a phone call from a staff pastor in Oroville, Chuck. And he's like, Pastor Lance, did you feel or hear about the storm that just went through Oroville? And I was like, well, we got some rain in Wadsworth, but it wasn't too bad. He's like, no. We got rain that we don't know what to do with. He's like, the entire city of Oroville is flooded. I was like, the entire city? He's like, there's at least 2 inches of water in the lobby. And I was like, in the lobby with the brand new flooring? In the lobby with the brand new furniture? He's like, it's in the kids' wing. It's everywhere. And I was like, okay. Does the Lord know we're opening his church in like 3 weeks? Did he not get the memo, God? Like, I'm like, okay. And I get it. Like this, listen, when you're pushing back darkness, the enemy pushes back. So the enemy, and I'm like, okay. And this was a rain. This is what was in the paper in Oroville. A rain we've never experienced in 50 years. And I was like, of course. This is going to be good. And so I call Steve who laid all the floor and I was like, hey, this floor is waterproof and not water resistant. Does that mean if it's underwater, it won't buckle? He's like, actually, you should be okay. And I was like, all right. I was like, well, I'm going to Oroville. He had just left Oroville. He's like, I'll meet you back there. He's got a truck. I didn't have a truck. And I had to drive all the way around the city because every road I tried to go on, including 57, feet of water. And I was like, this isn't good. I finally get to the building and we're like, brooming out the water, shop vac in water, dumping water. It's everywhere. And I remember I was heading to Columbus. I get home. It's about 2:40 at night. Well, that would have been morning. I finally fall asleep about 3:15. Alarm goes off at around 6:30. Why? Because the love of a father said, I won't miss this moment for my daughter. Now, I'm not bragging like, oh, look at you, good job. No, what I'm saying is, that's the love that I have in the natural for a daughter. But how much more love does a father in heaven have for his children? Because love is sacrifice. And look what this is a part of the story. It's if you read above the prodigal son, you get another loss. And this is what it says in Luke 15, verse 4. It says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds us? Doesn't it seem a little odd to leave 99 to go after the one? I mean, who's gonna take care of the 99? St. Augustine said it this way, God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. That's the love that the Father has for us. He would leave the 99, the sheep, as in, you're gonna be okay, but there is a lost sheep. There is a sheep that is struggling. There is a sheep that is hurting. There is a sheep that is wondering if I'm even real. And so I will leave the 99 to chase after the one. And I just want you to know, if you're watching online, you're in the room today, if you're the one, he's here for you. He's here for you. He's thinking about you. His eyes, he's sitting on the porch and he's looking for you and he's ready to welcome you home. The last thing I see in our scripture this morning, there's so much more, but Jesus is always ready to bring you home. He's always ready to bring you home. You're like, yeah, but if he knew, can I just let you know a little secret? He already knows. Like if you have a bad thought right now, he knows it. I don't know it, but he knows it. And he's always ready to bring you home. How many know that sometimes you don't know how good it is to be home until you leave home? So at 18, right, I even shared, I don't know why I shared it a few weeks ago, but being raised in an alcoholic home and parents weren't really, I mean, my dad, he would come to my sporting stuff, but other than that, he was working all the time. So I was the son of an alcoholic and a workaholic. So at 18, I left. I never went back home. I left home, got a job, and then I went to The Ohio State University and then came back home because I wanted to make more money and because I had to pay for my own school. And so I just kept working and I never went back. So I moved in with two of my buddies. That got me into a lot of trouble. And then I moved into my own house in East Cleveland, living by myself on East 172nd. That was interesting. But I didn't want to go back home because home wasn't good and I wanted a different environment. So I wondered, like, as my daughters, because I have three grown daughters, like, when they leave, what will they feel like about coming home? You know what I mean? Like, what would their emotions be? What would their heart be? And so just a couple weeks ago, Bree and her husband, Brendan, were here leading worship for an event that our state was doing in our building. And so they came in and they were leading worship for it. And so they stayed at our house, which is always a win for me because, you know, I get to see little Kyla Joy. And so that was a win. But the next day, they're leading worship, and they were done. But I had to stay with Pastor Anthony, and we were hosting the event, leading the event. And so earlier that day, I needed something. I said, hey, Bree, take my credit card, go to Walmart for me real quick, and bring this back. She's like, okay. Puts it in her purse or whatever and takes it. And then she's like, Dad, I just want you to know, we got a little surprise for you. Mom's in Asia, right? And so the Buckeyes are playing today. And so Kyla was in her little Buckeye shirt. That's the way I found out that Bree was pregnant, was with this shirt. And so Kyla's in her Buckeye shirt. We're all gonna stay, and Kirsten and Elijah are coming in, and all of us girls are gonna be here, and we're gonna watch the Buckeyes game together. I was like, this is a win. Like, just so you're aware, if you have daughters, it doesn't mean they're gonna love football. All of my daughters love football. Actually, my oldest will tell you exactly what's happening in the game and knows everything. She yells at the TV like me. She's like, that's holding! It's pretty fun to watch, actually. And it's interesting that she knows more about football than her husband. That's a whole different conversation we'll have later. But she's like, Dad, we're gonna do buffalo chicken dip. I'm gonna make mom's pepperoni rolls. And she's naming all this food. I was like, let's go. Like, I'm gonna get home after I've been working like 13 straight days and nights and I don't have to cook and you guys are all gonna hang out with me and we're gonna watch the Buckeyes game. Come on, right? Well, then I get this phone call. Hey, do you need anything else from Walmart? I was like, no, I don't need anything else from Walmart. Okay, I'm at the checkout. I just want to make sure. I was like, okay, that was weird. Hang up. And then it hit me. Huh. I call her back. I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Who paid for all this food that you're buying? And she goes, well, Dad, you're hosting it, so obviously you did. And I was like, oh, I'm tracking this. So here's the deal. Sometimes we don't know how great we have it until we leave and we come back home. Because I don't know about you, every meal tastes great when somebody else is paying for it. And so my daughter's like, yeah, you paid for it. I didn't need a case of ginger ale or Dr. Pepper. I'm trying not to drink any pop. I got a refrigerator full of pop now. And I was like, I didn't need this, but she wanted it. Right? I got all this food. What am I supposed to do with it? Why? Because you don't know how great you have it until you come home. And now this lost son has an opportunity to come home. And verses 20 through 22 through 24 of Luke 15, we've already read it, but it says, the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Now, when you're reading this, if you were there, you would totally understand everything that's being said. Because everything that the father does for the son has significance. And we're going to look at that. But he's like, listen, the robe, put it on him. Bring a ring, put it on him. Sandals, put it on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. So this is the best. This isn't the calf we don't really want. No, this is the best calf, the one they've been waiting to use for a party. He says, let's have a feast, celebrate, for the son of mine was dead and alive again. He's lost. And so what are we going to do? Our only response is to celebrate. To celebrate. Can I just let you know that coming home is just the beginning? Coming home, saying yes to Jesus is just the beginning. Your journey with God doesn't end at the point of your decision, but that's when it starts. Right? When you say yes, that's your beginning point. That's your starting point. And then this is a journey. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is a race where you're like, man, I'm going to chase after you, Jesus, and I'm going to get closer to you. But those emblems, those symbolic things that the son received are so important because the robe, what did the robe represent? The robe represented favor and blessing. So that's what he's putting on his son. Son, you are favored. You have blessing because you are my son. And then the ring. Why would he give him a ring? Well, your signature has value. So when you were part of a family, you had a signature, but that signature was in the ring, right? They would take the wax and they would push it down. And so if you used that ring, that was saying you're mine. It was a thing of identity. What was happening was the father was telling the son, listen, son, I just want you to know that you have an identity and you don't have to worry about earning it back. I'm giving it to you. And then lastly, the sandals were about purpose. You see, only sons and daughters received the shoes. Only sons and daughters. He's saying, you're not coming home, son, as a hired servant. You're coming home as my son. So everybody listening was going, this makes no sense. Jesus, why are you telling us a story that wouldn't be true? The father would not do that. The father would be angry. The father would be frustrated. He knows this son wasted all of his money and now he's coming home. But you're telling me, Jesus, that when he comes home, the father's going to throw a party? He's going to celebrate? He's going to bring him back into the family, into the fold, that he's going to have a favor and identity and purpose? And Jesus is like, yes. And that's what he did for them and that's what he will do for us. It's in Jesus that we find favor, identity, and purpose for our lives. It's not found anywhere else. It's the gospel. It's the good news. We were lost, but now we're found. We get to come home to Jesus. And here's what I love. The house is always ready. The house is always ready. But here's what I love. You didn't have to clean it. When I came to Jesus, I came with everything I had. There wasn't anything that was hidden. The mouth of a trucker and a sailor mixed into one. Every poor decision, I brought it all to him. Every single one of them. And I want you to know that anything that you've done being lost, that Jesus is in pursuit of you so you could be found. Here's the crazy thing. Remember I said it's a story of two sons? You're like, yeah, you talked a lot about the first one. What about the second one? There is a second son. So this story is that we shared, most of it's about the younger, but that son was lost. But what about the older son? The older son is known to be the worker. He's out in the fields. The scripture tells us he's doing what he always did. He was faithful. He's hardworking. He's respectful. He didn't ask for his inheritance. He's done everything that his father wanted. And now he hears music and dancing. And the servants come out and they're like, listen, your brother, we're getting the fattened calf. Can you imagine what the older son was thinking? Oh, you mean the calf that I've been taking care of? You mean the calf that I've been feeding? You mean the one that he was supposed to take care of, but he decided to go? And so you're telling me that he's home and now we're gonna celebrate, we're gonna throw a party? And his response is probably what our response would be. The scripture tells us that he ain't going. He's not going inside. He ain't going to the celebration. That ain't happening. But I love what the scripture shows us in Luke 15. The son refused to go in, so the father came to him. Let that sink in for a moment. Because you may be here this morning and you're like, man, I've heard this gospel message. I've heard about this prodigal son and I'm not, I don't want it. Can I just know that feeling, that emotion still is not pushing Jesus away? That even when it's like, no, I'm gonna reject, that Jesus still is in pursuit? And so what's the scripture show us in Luke 15, 31 and 32? It says, my son, the father said, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. But right now, we're gonna celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and alive, or dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. You see, the older son was bitter. He's upset with the father. He feels like, Dad, I've been left out. You're doing all this, but I don't get a party. And how come I'm not celebrated like my brother? I feel taken for granted. I feel forgotten. You see, the son saw something different than what the father saw. The older son felt like, man, I was forgotten. I was taken for granted. But what the father saw was, everything I have is already yours, son. Everything I have is already yours. Can I just let you know, you're watching online, you're in the room today, Jesus is for you, even if it feels like he's forgotten you. I get it. There are times in your life where you're like, man, this is a lot to walk through. Life can be difficult sometimes. You're like, man, that what happened to my family, what happened to me, the medical diagnoses, I don't have time to go into all the stories. Even this week, listen, I can't tell you if it was the right idea. I don't think it was the wrong idea. But was it the best idea to send 4 staff members to a different country 2 weeks before the launch of your third campus? Was it the best idea to launch your third campus the same day that you're going to launch life groups? And by the way, your life groups are going to be like 16 home. Like, is this the best idea? I don't know. But then if you paid any attention to the news, did anybody see the flooding that took place? And the prayers that we prayed last week for the team? Like, this was a global catastrophic event that is still taking place with hundreds and thousands of people out of their homes, businesses. We had a team that couldn't get to the airport because the bridge was underwater. People didn't get out. People couldn't, but somehow, some way, let this sink in. Somehow, some way, God provided a way that the van could get out a different way up the mountains where the water wasn't, to get to a different airport 4 hours away where they could fly out of and still not miss any of their other flights and bring them all home to us safely. And I don't take those for granted. What do I take them for? I take them for this, that even if it feels like we're forgotten, Jesus is with us. Even if we didn't make the wisest decision, Jesus is still for us and with us. He wants to be with you. He's looking for you. And can I just let you know, he wants to welcome you home. He wants to welcome you home. If you have a guest come to your house, let's say you have somebody who shows up to your house. Do you leave the door locked and say, you need to stay outside? Wouldn't that be really rude and odd? I mean, I'm grateful for Ring doorbells. Don't get me wrong. Like, shh. House is dirty. Ain't nobody home. Who is it? Oh, we can let them in. They've seen our house dirty. We're good. We don't do that. It would be rude of you. But when you have a guest, you open up the door and you let him come on in. Can I just let you know, in the book of Revelation, it says that he's standing at the door knocking. And he asks us, will you open the door to let him in? I don't want anybody to be rude this morning. He's knocking. He's saying, will you come home? Will you come home? And so if you are far off, like the first son we talked about, the prodigal son, you're like, man, I've wasted a lot. I've done some really dumb things. I just want you to know he's running towards you and he's welcoming you home. Or maybe you're on the other side and you're the brother who feels like, man, I've been working so hard and I feel forgotten. I just want you to know you're not. And he wants to welcome you home. So I'm gonna pray for us as we close out our service today. And I'm just gonna ask you to close your eyes for a minute. This isn't, if you're a guest, don't worry, we're not asking you to do anything crazy. For me, this is just a personal moment. Jesus is a personal God. And this is a personal moment. This is a moment for you to do some self-reflecting. Like, man, am I one of those brothers? Am I lost? Do I need found? Is what this pastor talking about, is God the Father really on the front porch? Is he looking for me? Would he run towards me if he knew what I did? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And he has a robe and he has a ring and he has sandals because you can get a new identity. That's how much he loves you. So if that's you this morning, no one looking around, if you're like, man, that's me, I've wandered. I'm like either of the brothers, or maybe you find yourself even in the middle, like, I'm not that bad, but I'm not that good. That's not what we're talking about. It's not one or the other. It's not, am I good or am I bad? It's, have I been found? Because the mission of Jesus is to seek and save that which were lost, and he loves to celebrate when we choose him so we could be found. So if that's you and you say, I want to come home today, and he's knocking and you're going to open that door, I'm going to pray for you. We're not going to do anything crazy. I'm not asking you to stand up, give us, I just want you to raise your hand and say, I want to choose Jesus. Because when we choose Jesus, our names go into the Lamb's Book of Life. When we say yes to him, that's salvation, my friends. If that's you today with no one looking around, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it? I'm going to pray with you. Say, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I'm coming home. I'm choosing Jesus today. He's knocking and I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Father, today I'm so grateful and so thankful that when we were lost, we could be found. That you have always been in pursuit and chasing after us. So Jesus, in our hearts, for those raised hands, maybe those who are still struggling and walking through this idea and this love of salvation, God, we admit our need. We believe that you are the one true Son of God, that over 2,000 years ago, you gave your life on a cross so that we could experience life in eternity with you. And we believe that your sacrifice was more than enough. And Jesus, we confess that need and we confess our sins. And Jesus, we pray that you would help to wash us, because we know you're more than able. We don't have to come with our whole act put together, but we can come with everything. There's nothing that needs held back from you. So Jesus, whether we're the lost brother who's way over here, whether we're the lost Pharisee and we think we're the most religious, whether we're the brother who felt forgotten, Father, I pray that you would help all of us where we're at to be welcomed home. To be welcomed home. For your glory, for your honor, we give you praise in all things. For you are good. We thank you that when you came knocking, we opened the door to receive you. In Jesus' name, amen.